My guest is Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, now online at calmatters.org. Last segment, we talked about his cousin, Hugh Glenn, who quite a famous story, and then in the end was murdered by a disgruntled employee. And I asked him during the break, you know, they didn't get the death penalty, and maybe mitigating circumstances, he was drunk. And then, you know what I think? Dan, I think that the attorney who represented him was actually a cousin of Johnny Cochran. So there was this connection between you and... So this segment, I just learned that Dan actually did not watch the Netflix movie Kill the Messenger, which is about a investigative reporter, Gary Webb, worked for the San Jose Mercury News, wrote a storyline called Dark Alliance. And so Dan knew him, and he's... not going to report on a movie that, as a movie, it wasn't a documentary. It was, you know, Hollywood. So he's going to tell us the real story about Gary Webb and Dark Alliance. How did you know him?
Well, he was a member of the Capitol Press Corps, for a number of years, working for the San Jose Mercury News. Of course, we know each other because of that. And Let me digress here a second. There is a species called investigative reporters, and they will spend sometimes weeks, months, maybe even years, digging through something to tell the world something, supposedly tell the world something important that they didn't know already. And Gary Webb was an archetypical investigative reporter. I've known a number of them in my life, and they tend to be driven, and they tend to, sometimes anyway, overdo their material. In other words, they become so invested in their quest, so they've devoted so much time and so much emotion and so much work to digging up what they're trying to dig up, that sometimes they lose sight of the validity of the information. They become so immersed in it, they get this kind of ownership attitude. It's mine. It's my story, and this is important. And sometimes they lose perspective on this thing. And I think that's what happened to Gary in this particular case. And I've seen it happen. It's a syndrome that I've seen happen on a number of occasions. That you become so invested in the thing, even if you don't quite have it, if you know what I mean by having it, having the smoking gun, the actual proof, you tend to sometimes overwrite and overdo the thing in the interest of coming up with something to justify all that time you spent on it. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
I think this is what happened to Gary in this case, and I've seen it happen in other cases to other investigative reporters. And I've done a little bit of that work myself, so I can understand it. You know, I can understand why something would happen. But it also is a kind of a thing that you need strong editors to guard against that sort of thing. And clearly in this case, Gary did not have strong air. Now, we know what the story is. The story is basically that the federal government was working with the Contras in Nicaragua to try to overthrow the leftist regime, to try to in that thing, and supposedly they engaged in cocaine trade to do so, to support the Contras, and that then resulted in the crack cocaine epidemic that so badly damaged inner city communities, particularly black communities all over the United States. Is that a good summary of what the whole point was?
Yes.
This was a kind of a conspiracy, or at least an active conspiracy, a kind of a indirect conspiracy between drug dealers and the federal government.
Back in the 1980s,
during the Reagan administration, when they were trying to hold the line against the left wing that was trying to take over portions of Central America.
And Gary Webb, as an investigative journalist, started investigating the CIA's role.
The CIA's role in all of this, saying that basically the CIA, if you boil it down to a nut graph, is the federal government became a drug dealer and victimized these poor communities in their efforts to help hold the line in South America against the communists and whatnot. That's kind of the basic.
And so when it first was reported, it was embraced and accepted and believed.
Well, first of all, he wasn't the first person to make this allegation or this reporting. It had been done somewhat by others previously, but much more carefully and not so conclusively. And this is where the problem happened. It wasn't just these are troubling indications that something might have happened. It was this is what happened. And that's what I mean by becoming so invested in your story that you have to show some dramatic results of all the work that you put into it. And in this particular case, after this series of articles appeared in the San Jose American News, which at that time, you have to understand, was trying to establish itself as a major newspaper in California, and particularly in the Bay Area, there's a kind of a inferiority complex in San Jose, in the city itself, and in all the institutions of San Jose. They're a big city. They're much bigger than San Francisco, but they're always kind of in the shadow of San Francisco. And this was part of the effort by the San Jose Mercury News to essentially jump up and down and say, look, we're a big city newspaper in a very big, important city, and you guys got to pay attention to us. So there was some ego, some journalistic ego attached to that by the newspaper itself, setting aside Gary Webb. And what happened in this particular case, I think, is that he took his material further than it was probably the material warranted in coming to the conclusion of what happened. The editors of the San Jose Mercury News did not do their due diligence in seeing that the story was what we call in the trade thin. It was a thin story. It wasn't thick. It wasn't rich. It wasn't really well developed. And after it appeared, the other newspapers, the Los Angeles Times, I think the Washington Post, the New York Times, I can't remember exactly, but at least in the Los Angeles Times, because a lot of this was based in what happened in Los Angeles in the crack cocaine trade, they went in and they debunked the story pretty thoroughly. They said, there's no proof that this happened. They kind of debunked the story.
Hmm.
And that embarrassed the hell out of the editors at the San Jose Mercury News for these other newspapers, bigger newspapers, more important newspapers, to come in and said, yeah, you guys blew it. You blew this story. You were writing something that you really couldn't prove was true. And the editors at the Mercury News panicked. And rather than standing behind Gary, because they're just as involved in it as he was, rather than standing behind, they threw him to the wolves. They threw him to the wolves. They disavowed him. They assigned him to some obscure province to write about. It was like San Jose or Santa Cruz or someplace. He was based in Sacramento. His family was in Sacramento. And here he was having to have to commute to somewhere, Salinas or Santa Cruz or someplace to work for Mercury News. So he quit. Suddenly his journalistic career, he was seen in the journalistic world as somebody who kind of overstepped, but the Mercury News, they just wanted to put all the blame on him and not take any of it themselves, which I think was very irresponsible and very unethical on their part. And so here you have this guy; he's 40 some years old at the time, I guess, something like that. And suddenly his career is done. He's now pariah. He couldn't get a job anywhere. He's writing little freelance articles here and there. And eventually, as we all know, he committed suicide.
And he might have written a book first?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, he did write a book first, in which he's basically trying to justify saying that he was right and everybody else was wrong, I guess.
The movie, again, Hollywood, so I don't know if other newspapers initially embraced him as a hero. In the movie, they showed it that way, and then they showed, as in your example, the Los Angeles Times coming out and debunking it and then him getting dismissed.
So well, at first glance, wow, he really hit the nail on the head. This is a sensational story, although pieces of it had been done by others before. I put that out. But as it kind of unfolded, it was thin. He didn't really have the smoking gun.
Interesting.
And the Merck News threw him to the wolves, and it was a tragic story. He got involved in substance abuse, and he was his family broke up. You know, he was cooked, and the idea that somehow somebody killed him or murdered him because of what he knew, that's BS. The guy committed suicide.
Yeah, it was long after the fact. My guest has been Dan Walters, syndicated columnist now working at Cal Matters. Find him at calmatters.org. And we were just talking about the storyline called Dark Alliance by reporter Gary Webb, who Dan knew and was around during this time. And sadly, the guy's career went down. And what was really odd is that he shot himself in the head twice. And so that may lead to conspiracy theorists, but apparently it's not the first time someone has killed themselves by shooting themselves in the head twice.
If you have the right kind of gun, you can do it.
You know, yeah, I mean, the first gun, you do it quickly or almost an automatic or whatever. But anyway,
bang, bang,
what's that?
You go bang, bang, just like that.
Right.
Double tap,
and right, but you still have the rudimentary reaction, so... But anyway, two very interesting segments, unfortunately, both ending with the protagonist dying at the end. But Dan Walters is going to go on for another, at least, I think you're going to live to be 100. You might outlive me.
Well, my mother's 103.
I remember that, and I was hesitant to ask.
And it's going strong, so
well,
I might be around for a while.
Can I interview her next time?
She talked your head off.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Good. She's a Glen.
What's that?
She's a Glen.
Oh, she is a Glen. Well, I'm going to. Yeah. We'll send her that segment. Does she listen to podcasts?
No, I don't think so. No, she doesn't do anything electronic. And her name is Glenna. So, there it is.
Well, I'll send you this. See if you could bring it to her and she can listen to that segment. You talk about your cousin, Glen. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye for now. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.